Hello, friends. It's Ariel Helwani of The Ringer MMA Show.
I'm Chuck Mindenhall.
And I'm PT Carroll. And together, we are 3-Pack.
Follow and listen to The Ringer MMA feed exclusively on Spotify for all the latest in the world of mixed martial arts.
And join us live on Spotify Green Room after every big event.
See you then. Love yous. Mwah.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Gabi, and Marquinhos.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this bonus episode of Righty's House on Ringer FC, where we will be joined by the wonderful Gabriel Martinelli. But first, joining me to talk about that is Mr. Moose Okwonga. How are you doing, Moose?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
Very, very good, Moose. Very good. You know, being with Adidas and doing the Arsenal and being around them, I always feel quite like, am I intruding on? Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah.
I always feel like that, but I'm so fucking excited about being amongst them. And when we were there, Musa, where we was at the Adidas, the Adidas Center.
Down in the south of Germany, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Where Arsenal were training in this unbelievable place. And just seeing the guys, you know, riding the bikes, going to the training when we was in and amongst it, Musa. It was a beautiful energy and vibe about it.
It was incredible. And what I love about being in those kind of complexes, spaces is, because once you're in that space, people are relaxed around you. So you have like really relaxed conversations. So you can end up having a conversation as I did, you know, Gabriel Jesus was
yes,
about finishing.
How good was that?
Oh my goodness. Like talking to him about finishing, there were so many amazing things about that trip. So shout out to Adidas. Thanks so much for like allowing us to join them. And thanks to Arsenal for allowing us to be in that space.
It's wicked. You know what I loved, Moose, as well? Remember there was they were training, they were right there. And the thing is, we were behind the fucking curtain, man. Because like Mikel was talking about, did you see that session he put on about, remember that bit where he's doing where the 50, right, win the ball here, blah, 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 and then go. Did you see that? And like being there, I was thinking, oh my God, this is what we're going to try and do. We're going to try and win it there and do this. But then the way they all kind of came over and they were just chatting, just like, just talking about stuff, talking about, and it just felt like, God, this, I felt like how a fan must feel to if you get that kind of access.
It's so, you know, wild, yeah. Obviously, because
really,
it's funny, because
yeah,
because you're an interesting case, because you're kind of an insider and outsider in the sense that you are a fan and you're someone that's played. So obviously, like even being there the 3 days, what I thought was interesting was the way that you kind of kept your distance in that respectful way.
Yeah,
because this is in many ways a new Arsenal, and this is very much, you know, I wouldn't even say the previous squad was Arteta's Arsenal. This is Arteta's Arsenal. You know, this with the new signings, the players who've gone out. Not just the ones who've come in, but the ones who've gone out as well, specifically, like the way that he's built that and that, you know, the training ground, I'll say this, like we've talked about preseason, does it have a value and all the rest of it. I would say this, there's not a single thing from the performances Arsenal have put in the preseason games that surprises me from the training.
Yeah.
Watching Martinelli and Jesus combine in training, the speed of it.
It's like unbelievable, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, God. The ball arrives at Gabriel Jesus's feet. And this is no disrespect to anyone else at the training ground. The intensity that man is bringing, the touch, the movement, the speed, and you can see them. You can see this man, the leadership.
Yes.
I think because he is at City and because he was overshadowed by other people there in terms of playing time and all the rest of it, I think it was possible for us to forget as a football community what a great leader.
Yes.
He
and
has
you know
the capacity
what?
To be.
Moose, going into that dressing room and like as soon as he goes in, you're looking up. You're on your hind legs a little simply because This is we're talking about a serial winner in an unbelievable team. And, you know, the way he was training, the sharpness in the finishing, you could see Emil Smith Rowe, you could see Eddie Nketiah, you could see Reece Nelson, you could see everybody, even Gabriel Martinelli. Mm. The, intensity and the levels somewhere else. And it just reminds me of when Dennis came. You naturally go somewhere else simply because someone's come in, was gone, well, I can't really get away with that kind of vibe anymore. I've got to go here.
It's funny. He's excited to build something. We're talking to. I was lucky to have a quick chat, and I was just saying, like, it's funny because, you know, obviously you've won a certain amount here, and I think if I look at like your career, there I was talking to him like I knew him, but I was like, I look at your career, and it's funny because if you look at like what Brazil went through in 2014, the World Cup, you were part of the kind of rebuilding that. Like you got the Olympics 2 years later.
Yeah,
that was huge. And he goes, yeah, I'm still young. I said, yeah, exactly. Like the thing is, you have a chance to build something. And what he was so excited about was building, like he's really, really excited at the thought of creating a new legacy. And it's almost like, we see when Luis Suarez left Liverpool.
Yes.
And went to Barcelona. And you identify him now absolutely with Barcelona. And I'm not saying that Jesus achieved as much individually as Suarez, because nobody did. But if you look at Luis Suarez, you're like, he's a Liverpool player. And if you look at him now, he's a Barcelona player. Mm-hmm. I actually wonder if Gabriel Jesus becomes a player we identify more with Arsenal than City.
I hope so.
I feel like that's what he wants in a way, because in terms of what he wants to build here, it's interesting.
Yeah. And I'll tell you why as well, Moose, to add on to that, is that because of the fact that he didn't score no goals. Was it the Olympics?
Oh, the World Cup, yes.
Was it the World Cup?
Games.
Yeah, so he didn't score any goals. I feel that because it's been so stop-start with City, he's in, plays well, he's out. I think that now coming to Arsenal, getting the opportunity to continually play might be the making of him in respects of going back to Brazil as a lead man now.
Yes.
He's going to go with a different energy and he's going to want to right that wrong.
We're seeing in pre-season already. Yeah, this is the funny thing. You see him talk about that. You know, I knew that he was back to his level. We actually had a quick chat and I said, if I look at like the roles you had in City, like people forget that he started out scoring at ferocious rate for City.
Yes.
And then he got moved around a bit and he lost that chance to be that kind of that assassin. And the final few months he was at City, it came back to, I said, it was almost, I was watching that goal you scored. I said, the one against Chelsea when you like take like four touches, turn twice. And then it reminded me of, you know, he said, you know, Gerd Müller. He goes, yeah, of course. Yes. Yeah, so like that was your Gerd Müller goal. And I saw that and I was like, oh, it felt like you were back. And he was like, absolutely. And I think you saw him in training, you saw him in that game against Nuremberg coming in and doing what he did and like, or Everton. But it's not even about the opposition, it's about his mind state.
Yeah.
The greatest footballers, it's like, it's not about the opposition, it's about them competing with themselves. And I look at him and I'm like, this man is now competing with himself.
With himself, Moose. Well said.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot to do in respects of him proving to be the person, like you mentioned, coming in and scoring like at a ferocious rate. I think he wants to make sure he kind of rubber stamps, that's what I'm about, and now you're going to see it.
Well, talk of improving, Martinelli is a player who is in that mold, absolutely.
Yes.
We were so lucky to get to speak to him, had some time with him. And I mean, what did you feel about that? What were your impressions of talking to the great Gabe?
I think that he was, what you got from him initially is how excited he was for Gabriel Jesus being there.
Mm.
And you can see there's almost, like his chest is puffed up a little bit more because he's got that kind of confidence where he knows, I know that him and Emil Smith Rowe were kind of like battling it out for a lot of the last season, but he strikes me this season and when I spoke to him and when you're just around him, he knows he's going to play. He knows he's playing. And even when you watched him and Jesus in training, doing their stuff, our Sharpie, there's a different energy to him. It feel like because Jesus has come in and he knows he's a major part of that team. It's almost like Mikel's had the chat with him. You're a major part of this team. Now it's time to go out and do your stuff.
He's given him the keys.
Yeah, I feel like he's somebody that has got an air about him that, okay, this is it now. I'm ready to go. That's the vibe I got from him. You know what I mean?
It was exciting and his confidence. What was funny?
Yeah.
You know, we were having a chat even before we set up for the interview. This is something that's not in the podcast conversation itself, but just talking about life and financial security and investments. And like the first thing he was mentioning was about like family and like
his
making family
house.
Happy and all of that, and going, my goodness, like it was the first thing, like, you know, you talk to footballers, the first thing anyone can come out with is quite indicative of where their head is at. And for him, the first thing was about security and providing. Before even he talked about football, I thought, this man is so grounded in so many aspects that his game has the platform now to really take off. And the beauty of it is the attacking configuration he's part of could not be more perfect. Utterly fluid front four, potentially. Him, Odegaard, Jesus, and Saka, who we've barely talked about.
Yes.
And the combinations they're going to make are going to be bewildering.
I'm just hoping that the team, because they're a great age, the ceiling's very great for this team and how young they are. I'm just hoping that all of them, Emil Smith Rowe, Eddie Nketiah, you know, even Reece Nelson, who seems like he had a lease of new life in that preseason. You're just hoping that all those players can just raise their level. Because I think there's a little bit of an unknown quantity about Arsenal at the moment because people don't think that we're close enough.
Mm.
If those guys get to their kind of potential and they start to perform,
then they're galvanized.
Yes, that's what it is. People say, "Oh, here he goes, Arsenal." No, you could see the way Mikel is, Edu is, you know, everything what they're doing there is pointing towards the way this team are now thinking and the way they're performing. And I was pre-season, people say, "Oh, let's not get too excited about pre-season." This is all a building. This is platform, what's doing now. This is where they're going to build from. And this is why I'm quite excited about them at the moment.
Yeah, likewise.
So should we get into the chat with Gabby and Moose? Let's do it. Should we do it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Thanks for coming, guys. Welcome to Righty's House. My friend Musa Kwanga's with us, and obviously with Gabriel Martinelli. Just have a little chat, you know, at the end of it. We'll have a little mingle as well. But just want to say, Gabby, man, it's great to see you watching the training yesterday. You looked, how many days have you been back now? 4 days or something?
Yeah, 4 days.
How are you feeling? I saw that session. It looked pretty cool.
I'm feeling great. Couldn't be better here in Germany with this weather, with my team, with the new teammates. Yeah. Been amazing.
What about like your summer? How's your summer go? What was you doing?
Yeah, it was very good. Needed as well. I stayed a lot with my family and enjoyed them.
Do you feel like, have you had enough break? Have you come back at the right time? Do you think you needed a couple more days maybe?
I could have like a few more days, but it's my job. If they tell me to come one day after finish the season, I have to come.
Would you come?
I'm happy to.
And are you happy to come back now?
Yeah.
How's it feel being back with everybody?
So nice. They are my family now.
Yeah.
Who are you happiest to see?
I think Pablo Mari. He's back with the team. And yeah, I love him.
It was like a big brother kind of vibe because we're going to have to check. Brazil now. It's like watching Arsenal now.
Gabi, and Marquinhos. Yeah, it's good to be.
It's
good.
Pablo's like a very, very, very big brother.
Yeah, he was like a trainer. Yeah. You know, when you look at him yesterday, I didn't realise because you watch him in the pitch and you think, oh, yeah, he looks pretty big. But when you're next to him, he's massive.
Right, right.
Then we have Pablo and Cedric. These two guys are, you know, as a person, they are amazing.
So Gabs, I was looking the other day and I saw a picture of you when you first came. It was like... It's like a little...
Leo Gabi.
Little Gabi, yeah.
It's still time. Leo Gabi. We have Leo Gabi, middle Gabi, and big Gabi.
Big Gabi. And it's 3 years now. How's it going? How's everything going in respect of how you are progressing in at Arsenal?
It's been an amazing journey. I feel at home here. I've grown so much as a player over the last 3 years. Mm. And being given the opportunity to play for just great club. And yeah, I will continue to work hard and achieve our goals.
And the way the team are progressing, you know, because we know that as well, Mitch, you wanted to mention about the way you've played and the injuries and, you know, the disappointment stuff. How you been dealing with the fact that we're starting now, if we're going to be totally honest, and I'm not being biased, but I'm being biased. It's my team, it's Arsenal. We're starting to see something. Something's happening. Mikel's getting the players he wants now. And we're starting to progress. Last season was a little bit unlucky for us. We just missed out on fourth. But when you were injured in and around that time, and the team was, how was that for you? The injury stuff and everything.
To be fair, was a tough time. Yeah. To be out, it's not a good thing. You know.
Mm.
And yeah, but you need to, even if you are in a bad position, you need to think positive and, you know, try to do everything to get back as soon as possible, and yeah, this is what I try to do.
So what was the main thing? When was the lowest points? Because like,
What's it like when the team's winning when you're injured, you're nowhere near it? How did you get through that time?
Yeah, I think with my family, my parents was...
Your dad, huh?
Yeah, my dad was always with me. And yeah, he helped me a lot. It's hard to be out of the team and, you know, it's the thing that you love to do. It's your job. You want to be there with the ball, with your teammates. You need to go through this and... Yeah, this is what I did.
So when you talk about it, because I was quite fortunate, to be honest. I didn't get injuries that kept me out for the times, the length of times that you were kept out. But I remember it was very hard to motivate myself to do the work, to the rehab. How did you get through that, the motivation to get through that?
My family. Mm. I always think about them when I step on the pitch, and when I wake up, and yeah, they give me the motivation.
Can I just say, I'm interested because obviously it'd be rude not to ask because, you know, he is Brazilian. Mm-hmm. What were the special meals that your family cooked to help you recover from the injury? Give us some recipes, man.
To be fair, my mum wasn't in London with me because we were in the pandemic.
Oh, no.
And yeah, she was in Brazil and couldn't travel to England.
So, of course, she was injured through the pandemic?
Yeah.
How is it? So what?
Even worse.
Even worse.
Awful, man.
This is what I'm trying to find out. Because the pandemic is something that obviously no one's had to deal with something like that up to this
especially
point.
With an injury. It's another
with
level.
The injury as well. And so you said, so was your dad with you?
As I said, you need to take the positive things.
What was the positives you was taking?
My English. I got the English when I was injured because every day I had to speak English with the physio. Every single day I was with him. Jordan, his name, and I wasn't with the boys, so I couldn't speak Portuguese. So every day, English.
Yeah,
that's wild because the English is like, it was already good, but it's like, it's gone to another level now.
It's getting better. Yeah.
It's good. Let's just go back to that session yesterday. So Gab, because like, when we had to do our pre-season, it was literally, it was running, and the only way they realised, yeah, he's getting fit, is when you were vomiting. When Arsene Wenger came, we done a fraction of that. And, you know, we were fitter and stronger because obviously we're eating better and everything we was doing. But what I saw yesterday was, it was like space age for me.
It was amazing, wasn't it? Yeah.
For 4 days in, like I was saying, Gab, we didn't see the football for 4 days. When you came, you knew that you're going to be running twice a day for 4 days and you might see the ball. They almost teased you about you might get the ball tomorrow, you know, and that's what it was about. But what I saw that session was football, running, weights.
Yeah.
Stretching, yeah.
How's that? Tell us about
yeah,
it.
A bit of everything. Mm. We have very good professionals in our staff and they talk a lot with us. And yeah, did you see yesterday we did small side games, but me, Gabi and Marquinhos, we didn't do it because it's the fourth day. Yeah, they have the iPad, the numbers, and everything. You can do it, you can do that, you cannot do it, you can not do that. So
checking
they have
your progress for everyone, yeah.
You know what was really interesting is that I was kind of listening in to Mikel, and that session he's doing is something to do with the last 15 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
To explain to us, what was that session?
It's like it's in the last 15 minutes, and we have the possibility to win the game, and we're playing different ways. In different positions,
to win
different
the ball back.
Formation as well.
This is what I'm going to do with my punditry. I'm going to start talking about it.
The last 15.
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah. I've seen.
Don't give
stuff.
It away.
I've
to
got
them,
some
man.
Inside stuff. It looked really. So then you've done that, and then I heard the coaches saying something, Gabs, about okay. So while they're working, you're working over here. So both teams are working. So everybody's working.
Yeah, everyone's doing something.
Something different.
Yeah.
And what about yourself? What are you working on in respects of, you know, when you get your time to work on what you want to do to improve yourself as a player? What's yours? When do you get that time?
After the session, I try to do finishing. And in the time in Brazil, I was trying to take free kicks with my dad in my old club. And yeah, I always try to improve myself.
It was your old club? Can you explain to me? It was your old club?
Ituano. It's a small club from São Paulo. Do you know Juninho? He played for Middlesbrough.
Yes, the magician.
Yeah.
Did he play for them as well?
Yeah.
Was it kind of like a non, what was it, a low league team? Was it like
at the moment we are in the second division, but when I left, we weren't even in any division.
It was like a non-league
yeah,
team.
Yeah.
And then you went straight to Arsenal.
Jumped straight from that.
What was that like in respect of the levels? So because I remember when I came from
the change and
from the
standard.
Second division to the first division.
There's a big gap between them.
What was the gap like?
Huge.
What did you notice?
My first day, I went to the gym and you see Mesut, Uba, Laka, all these players.
How old was you?
18.
Mm-hmm.
Just turned 18.
How did they know you were good enough? Like, no, obviously you are good enough, but like, how do they see it? Because at that level, when you're playing, the way people think is not as quick as the highest level. So what did they see in you where they were like, that guy's good enough?
Maybe my speed. Because I remember one time someone was going to watch me play and he asked me, my agent, to send the videos, the highlights, you know?
Mm.
And he sent to him and he said, oh, send me the normal video. He thought it was in the, you know.
They thought you speeded it up.
Oh, that's
they thought that they speeded up the running.
No, they didn't, but he thought they did.
Wow, I love that detail.
Because, yeah, it's funny because, again, I feel that because I came from Palace and the second division of Palace, then we went to the first division of Premier League. I remember I spoke to Chris Waddle, I told you about it, where he told me about what you have to do and how you have to sharpen everything up. And like, it's interesting that you talk about the speed because it was the pace what kind of gave you a little bit of a head start. Yeah, because my touch wasn't great. But I'd get away with it with the pace. So then I had to start working on the touch. So what did you work on?
Me as well. When I first came, I was working a lot.
What was the main thing you was afraid of? Because I was afraid of when they played the ball into me, losing the ball and stopping the build-up.
Yeah, I think the same.
Is it the same?
Yeah.
I was petrified.
Exactly the same.
I want to talk about something else, actually, because it's about speed, but I want about power, because you played in the Brazilian league, as you know, physical. Those who watch, it's tough, right? But you weren't the biggest dude when you came there, but you've now put on all this like extra muscle. How was it playing in the Brazilian league and not being like the biggest? And how did you then put on all that weight, like extra sessions in the gym? Like, how did you get through all that?
You have to improve yourself. I knew when I came that I needed to get stronger, you know, not much, because if not, I was going to lose my speed.
Yeah.
But I tried to always eat, you know, have my diet, have everything, have a physio at home. And yeah, I always try to improve myself.
And the futsal, with the futsal and now, how much like obviously Ronaldinho and the amount of players that had their grounding in that futsal, do you still use some of that kind of futsal skills in what you're doing now? Because obviously you're known for pace and stuff like that, but skills, that's a very skillful kind of like game you had to play futsal.
Yeah, because when you play futsal, it's a smaller pitch and you need to think quicker. And yeah, my control, sometimes I control the ball like that, you know, the ball comes and I control like that. And everyone asks, oh, why you control the ball like that?
Is that because the ball's heavier as well with the futsal?
No, I think it's because in futsal, it's easier to control the ball like that. Because the floor, it's like this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to control the ball like that.
You know, that's funny because in training, I was watching like the first touches. You see like some Brazilian players and the first touch is like...
It's always like that, isn't it?
Very often it's under the thing. People think it's showing off. It's not. It's just a technique that is more helpful in that situation, right? It's just a...
Yeah, some people think this is not good. But it's my style to control the ball, you know? I think this is the easiest way to control, and I can control and put it away to go 1v1.
We was talking about, when we was walking up, we was talking about the some goals you scored. And there's a goal he scored. It was at Chelsea. And Kante slipped and he had to go from...
He got caught in the wind.
You know what I wanted to do for us, Gabs, is can you explain to us? Because remember, we broke and then you're coming up with Kante. What are you thinking?
First of all, was a corner, isn't it?
Yeah,
was a corner.
Yeah.
William cross. And then Mustafa headed. And I just tried to get in front of the the other player. Mm. I got the ball. I gave one touch. I think my second touch wasn't that good.
Wasn't a good one. You knocked it quite far ahead. That's why I think he slipped, because I think he thought, oh, that touch is the one I could go on. And then he slipped. And then...
Then he tried to get the ball. He slips. And at that moment, I was just thinking, get in front of the goal. And
You know what I say? Because it's one of those goals that, you see, like, it might be quite difficult for you to try and explain how difficult that was from there, because you're going from in your own half, you know, then all of a sudden Kante slips, and so now everyone's thinking, right, what's he got?
Has
he
got? And you start to get tired.
Yeah.
They're running.
It's late in the game, right?
It's late,
You're still bombing on.
So what I'm thinking is the touches, because I remember it. I remember it down to the last tee. He's had, from the time Kante slipped, in total he had 5 touches. Bam, 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 bam. And I was thinking, while you were going there, was there at any stage, was you looking at the goalkeeper? What was you doing?
Yeah, well, I think in my first touch, I looked at the keeper. Mm. You know, I didn't put my head up.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you were looking down.
You're seeing it, you're sensing it there, yeah.
And then I saw him and just...
But like the reason why I talk about that one, Moose, is because, you know, we always talk about the finishing.
Yeah, yeah.
And goalkeepers, what I used to do to start with Dave Seaman, goalkeepers are waiting for bad touches. Remember, I was just talking to you about it. And I was saying to you, especially in training, should never be missing the target in training. What's happening is with the goalkeeper in that instant, he's hoping that he needs a bad touch.
Yeah.
And then he needs to see at some stage, you look up to see where he is, because as soon as your head goes down, he's got to make another move, the goalkeeper. But what happened with that goal, why I love it so much, why I always talk about it when I talk about Gabby, is that at no stage did the goalkeeper have any chance, because all the touches were perfect.
He was waiting my mistake.
Yes, it didn't come.
Is it something, with your finishing in training, Do you think about this, the touches and the goalkeeper and what he's doing, where he's meant to be when I'm here, where he's meant to be when I'm here? Because these are the things you need to...
Yeah, before the finishing, I always try to see where the keeper is and put the ball
in. Do you speak to the keeper? Because like I said, Dave Seaman didn't want to do any diving about. You see, so after training, Dave Seaman, he wanted to talk about finishing, but he didn't want you to shoot against him. So, you know what I mean? So that's where someone like Alex Meninga came in, because like he would stay all day, right? But like Dave Seaman and Bob Wilson, so I'd speak to them. It's something you should do.
Yeah, last season I was talking to Rafa, the goalkeeper, because I was taking penalties, and he saved 3. And then I was like, what am I doing? How did you save those? And he was like, you are looking there and your body language is, I can see that you are going to
right,
put it there. So, and then I try to improve.
That's funny, because I watch you, and one thing is interesting is a lot of strikers don't do this, but when you go through on goal, your first touch is with different feet. Is that something you've worked on, to be able to take a first touch with either?
Yeah, I've worked a lot on it. Mikko, when he came, he said to me to work on it. And yeah, I think now I'm improving on it. And I think the game against West Ham, Laka gave me a good ball and I control with my left and finish with my right.
Yeah, this one. Yeah. I love this one.
A good goal as well.
Now, we've got to talk about, because we mentioned like Brazil and the Brazilian players, because you look at Brazil, so you got Neymar, Vinicius Jr., Rafinha,
Richarlison,
Anthony,
Rodrigo. Anthony, you know, and yourself.
Malcolm as well, if you
so like, apart from Neymar, all of those guys are, under 25?
Yeah, under 25.
Brazil's, it's looking unbelievable. What's it like when you go and meet up with those guys? And what's it like being able to go into that kind of, atmosphere of those great players, and you're there, you're one of them.
Yeah, it's an honor, you know, to play for your country, and it's an honor to be there with them. The atmosphere, it's amazing. The dressing room, everything.
The vibes. It's, who controls the music?
The
who's doing the music?
I think Neymar. I don't know, but as I said, it's amazing. The atmosphere.
Because
talking about that, I want to talk about the Olympics, right? Because that to me is like, obviously Brazil had a tough time at the World Cup. 2014, but 2018 they kind of came back and they didn't win, but they restored, I think. The 2018 World Cup, you saw the Brazil team returning to a level where people could see the quality.
What was it like winning the Olympics? How did that feel?
It was amazing. And now we have Gab as well.
Right.
Mm. He won the Olympic Games in 2016 in Brazil as well. Yeah.
What was your favorite memory from that? Because you scored a penalty, right?
Yeah, from the penalty. Was amazing to score in that game, same final.
Was it Mexico, I think
yeah.
It was, yeah. And Mexico is like one of these teams that, like, they don't necessarily win, but they're tough to get.
Yeah, they're always tough to play against.
And now we've got we mentioned like Gabriel Jesus. I'm really delighted that he's come. What did you say anything to him about coming to us? Did you explain to him how great our club is?
In the national team, I was every day. Gabi, you are my teammate already.
You might as well come.
Yeah, come to us. We need you.
Agent Martinelli.
I know.
Yeah, and Gab as well, big Gabi.
Wow, that's good.
You look at it and you think to yourself, the attacking force that we've got now. Mm. You know, if everybody, obviously, fingers crossed, can stay fit. But I want to ask about, last season, when we were in and around fourth and that, how what was it like in and around the training ground? Because I had to bring down the excitement and people meet me on the streets and that. What was it like for you guys when you were in that fourth place for so long?
We were so excited. Unfortunately, we didn't reach the top four, but we did a very good season. As I said, we have a lot of good players, young players.
Yeah.
And this year we are gonna try again this season.
How was Mikel with it when it kind of transpired that we weren't gonna make it? How did he get the positivity back into it? Because I explained to people, it's not failure for me. It was disappointing. Oh, of course it is, because what it means to us, and like speaking to Mikel and what our people are looking at our club now, because we've got to a place where we are attractive. For me, again, I think we're attractive. For young players, know these agents, that they know you're going to play now. So Mikel and Edu have got a really good basis to attract
to
people in.
From, yeah.
What was Mikel like in respects of when it didn't happen? Was he what was his positivity like?
I think the way he works, it's amazing, because we were doing well, so we needed to continue. You know, not change anything. Let's keep doing the same things. Humble. Let's play the same way that we are playing. Of course, seeing the bad things about the other teams and try to explore it. Well, keep doing the same thing. Mm.
I mean, what's exciting for me about Arsenal, and I'm not an Arsenal fan.
But a Man United fan.
You don't have to out me.
I just outed him. It just came out naturally.
Can we cut this out?
You just have to out people.
Can we cut this out of the... Why is the light coming on like I'm on trial? What excites me so much about Arsenal is your creative midfield and your attack, right? It's like everyone can swap position, everyone can attack, everyone can finish. What's the most exciting thing for you about all these other players, so technical, so fast? What's your favourite thing about playing with Martin Odegaard and Gabriel Jesus and the rest?
It's amazing. And as you said, we have the freedom to play. I can go to the right, we can come to the left. With Eddie, he drops, I go in behind, B goes in behind. With Gabriel Jesus as well, he can come to play. And yeah, it's amazing to play with them. With Martin, he can find you everywhere.
Wow, yeah, what
it's
a passer.
Amazing.
I think when I look at Arsenal, I feel like we don't actually fully understand how good these players are. Like when I saw Bukayo Saka closely, I was like, he's like 20% better than I thought. And Martin as well, like his passing is just...
Yeah.
The thing with Martin is, what I love about Odegaard is that and it's going to be interesting to see what people do with him next season, is if he's got any kind of time, he's going to finish you. He's going to feast. And you saw last season a couple of times, especially when he weren't playing, how much it affected us. You know, he's somebody that I would be talking to him all the time in training, Gabby, to say to him, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That's what I would do to him. But I wanted to say to you, when you're not playing and you're having to come off the bench all the time, you know what I mean? What are you thinking then, Gabs? Because like there's a couple of times where I'm thinking, surely he's going to get a run now. We know that you've had the injuries, then it's in and out, you and Emil. What's that like for a player, like a young player who's trying to blast, who's trying to get yourself going?
Of course, yeah. I got sad because I want to play. If you don't want to play, you were in the wrong job. Mm. Of course, everyone wants to play. But you need to keep doing, keep going, you know. I didn't give up. I was always trying. If I was playing 5 minutes, 45 minutes, 30 minutes, I was always giving my best. Mm. Yeah, I think this is what I did.
I want to, because I'm excited about this, because we think about Brazil players, we think about the World Cup. Mm-hmm. What does the World Cup mean to you?
It means a lot. I'm trying to do everything to go to the World Cup. Mm. Since I was 7, I think, when I start football, my dad, when you turn 21, we'll have the World Cup and you're going
to play. That's the pressure you're putting on people.
You can see the touch, though.
Wait a minute. So you were 7, right?
Yeah. Every single day, like, he was on 2022.
Wow.
We're going to have
World Cup. He said it, so he looked at that date and was like, that's when you're going to.
Yeah.
And that's young, because you look at, like, the Brazilian Ronaldo, right? Mm. He didn't play when he was a teenager. He got to the World Cup.
94.
Right, so the 98 was when he went, when he was 20.
Yeah.
So who are the players that you grew up at the World Cup for Brazil looking at and going, I want to be like that guy one day? Who were the Brazilian players you looked up to?
Neymar, Ronaldo. I think those players.
Yeah.
I didn't see Romario, but I can see in videos in YouTube, and he was amazing as well. Yeah. As I said, my dad was always talking to me about this. Of course, at that point, he didn't know that I was going to be a footballer or you know.
Oh, he didn't. He didn't know. He was still.
Yeah. You didn't know. I was 7. How you know?
You know? Well, you say that, but some in this country, people are like.
Well, it's obviously because now they're taking children at such a young age. But
yeah.
I don't think that any child or any as the pressure, you know, when you're talking about being Brazilian, because even when we was young, we all wanted to be Brazilian.
Right. And still do.
We all wanted to be Brazilian. Yeah. And like every World Cup when I was younger, I always wanted Brazil to win it, right. You know, all the way through. And I think one of the most disappointing ones was 74 when all they had was Jairzinho and I think Rivelino was playing and they were
old,
terrible. And that's when Holland came to the fore. But the pressure, do you feel the pressure of having, like, this World Cup, you're probably going to go into it again, Brazil as favorites. Do you feel pressure like that?
Nothing.
What's it like?
I want to go 100%, but I know if I don't go, I'll keep working and yeah.
But no, as a country, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's it. Because I was in Brazil just very briefly, and I just thought to myself, this is like football is everywhere. People are playing everywhere, mm-hmm. running around everywhere, and it's just to play football for Brazil. It's not the same as playing for some other country, like mm-hmm. because it's the cultural expectation mm-hmm. of like. It's like, what, 200 million people, and that's the focus. That's the center of the cultural space. When did you first know you were good enough to be a footballer? When was that moment where you were like, actually, I could do this?
To be fair, I think I have never thought about it.
You never doubted it? You never just did it, like, naturally?
What do you mean?
I was just playing. Like, until I turned 13, I was just playing for fun, you know? Mm. Of course, I had that motivation to play because I love it. Mm. And I don't want to lose. I want to win every single game. But before this, I was just playing.
That's really healthy because then it's not an obsession. It's just a natural thing. Mm. Sometimes you hear people, it's just like, you know, everyone is obsessed with it from the early age.
Yes. But there was a time where you was at Man United, like, trialing that. What was that like?
To be fair, it was very good for me to
see how...
How
long was you there?
I think I had 4 trials there. I think the first time was in 2014, and then 15, 16, and 17, I think.
So they saw you 4 times?
Yeah.
And still didn't work inside. I'm so happy.
We turn off the recording so I can say what I think.
So how old was you at the time, would you say?
When they said no, I was 17, I think. Mm. And 7 months before I come to Arsenal, I went to Barcelona as well. Mm. I had a trial there. I stayed 15 days there.
What was that like?
It was good. I played with Ansu Fati.
Oh, Ansu Fati.
He's
yeah.
a good boy.
Is he very good?
You're still in touch? You're still friends?
Yeah. Oh. Always text each other.
Actually, that's I've always wondered, because football is such a small world, right? And like, who are your like friends at other clubs, same kind of age? Like, you know, obviously Ansu, other countries, other clubs, players that you saw coming up. Who are you sort of, who is your like friendship group in the kind of young?
Anthony from Ajax. Yeah. Rodrigo from Madrid.
Oh, he had a great year, eh?
Jesus, what about that Champions League?
When we were 11, we played against each other. I was playing for Corinthians and him for Santos. Mm. We played a lot of times against each other when we were young.
Did you when you was younger? Did you feel he's gonna be?
Yeah,
you could tell, right?
Who else was there? Like you said, yeah, he's gonna be okay as well.
In my age, Anthony as well.
Did you hear about Gabriel Jesus when you was that young? Did you not? Did you hear about him?
No, because I think he wasn't playing for Palmeiras. Mm. He was playing for a local team or something like that.
Mm. Because I'm always interested, because obviously those guys made it. But how often do you see players that you think, oh, they're going to make it, and they just, don't see them anymore? Does that happen quite a lot when you're way up? Or?
Yes. Sometimes it's like when you are in the under 11, you see like, oh, this guy is amazing. And then he goes to the under 13, because in Brazil it's 11, 13, 15, 17. It's not like in England. And then when he gets in the under 13s,
you can't do it.
Yeah. Just but some players that don't play in the under 11, when they get in the under 20s, it's the man.
It's
so funny. I was looking at the Brazil under 20s when they win the World Cup, and you look at the players that win that tournament and then go on to become, at the age of 25, 30, World Cups, and actually a lot of them don't.
Yeah.
And that's not because they're not good.
Football is hard.
Yeah.
So what about targets? I know we got a thing, you wrap it up in that soon, but like, what targets are you setting? Because like we saw last season, we were so close with the fourth, and now we've made some very, very good signings. What targets you set for yourself, firstly? Because the way I see that the energy in the training ground yesterday was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
We've got like 7 or 8 players to come back, whatever it is. What targets are you setting for yourself in respect of what you're going to be doing to yourself to make sure that you stay in the team to score the goals, to blast us there?
I'll give everything every single day, giving my best. I think if you don't give 100% every day, you cannot go to the next level, you know, because you are here, your potential here. If you train 8%, you're going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go to the next level, you know. Yeah, I'll try to give 100% every single day.
What do you think in your game you need to work on to make sure that you are you take the half chance when it comes, you know what I mean? Because like I said, I was watching the training, there's a couple of people missed the target, a couple of people hit the ball over the bar. I remember I was saying to you, I was coming, do not miss the target in training. Do not miss the target in training. Because that's what training's for, to make sure that you're hitting the target all the time. So what I'm going to do now, because I'm telling you and there's witnesses here, if you miss the target, I'm gonna have to Instagram you.
Yeah. I'll try not miss the target.
You know, because like it's funny. It's only because you know when you, like I say, I go back to that Chelsea game. Even the Leeds goal, I love the Leeds goal as well this season.
When he goes high.
Yeah, because you seem to when you're going through like that, you just there's an air of like confidence that I feel he's gonna score.
Mm.
Do you feel like when you're going? Do you feel I'm gonna score? I'm gonna
score. The first one.
Yes.
It was a strange goal because everyone gave up. I think Laka got it. And then the center back stole the ball, and then the ball was in front of me, and no one was there.
Mm.
And I just.
Well, because they know you're a good finisher, they were like it. So maybe they.
No, it was a weird goal because no one wanted to get the ball from Leeds.
Actually, it's talk about weird goals. Mm. It was a beautiful goal, but it was kind of weird. Is it the Watford goal where you hit it in the top corner?
Oh, God.
And it was going all over the place. Like the ball was, it had like 3 different types of spin. By the time it gets to you, the ball has gone like this way, then I think Lacazette puts it back.
Yeah.
And he hit it in the top. How was that finish when that came? When did you make the decision to shoot?
It was an amazing team goal. First, Mikko was a throwing and he gave the ball to Cedric and everyone, I think, one touch.
Every decision was perfect, right? Everything was,
Cedric to Martin, Martin to Laka, he said, and I just...
You know, I just
it was like a volleyball goal, like the way it was set up for you.
Yeah.
You sort of spiked, and then you spiked it. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was really funny. I've got to say the Wolves game, bro, when you know, the sending off. I know that it was just like, It was like in the space of like 10 seconds, my man got sent off. I was watching on the television. I was like, I didn't realize that they were going to, like, because you tried to stop the throw on and then you, when it happened, I looked, stop.
Everyone asked me this and I can't explain that.
That's so crazy. You couldn't believe it yourself?
I couldn't believe. Oh, God, I didn't know what to say. I was like, what? He gave me 3 cards. He did like that. 1, 2, and the red. 3 cards.
It was fun, man. Listen, look, you know what? I've got to get signed this because I'm going to give this shirt away to somebody. And it's quite interesting because we've got like Martinelli 11, okay? Now, I need to know what, I'm going to get you to sign it, but I want to know why 11? Why have you gone with number 11?
I've always loved this number since I was a child.
Who was the inspiration behind? Just 11?
I just like the number.
But you thought the Brazilians loved 10?
Did Romario wear 11? It was a...
No. He loves 11. But I think when he was at Barcelona, who was the manager? Cruyff?
Cruyff was there, yes.
He said, in my team, the best player wears the number 10. And this is why he was wearing the number 10.
Wow. I didn't know that.
That's amazing. Listen, I don't know what to say. I'm going to just have to say, you know, listen, man, I just want you to stay fit and stay strong all season. Like I say, I'm going to be watching and I'm going to Instagram you.
Don't miss the target.
You know, I just want you all the best. You know what I mean? It's great. At the moment, I'm so excited. As an Arsenal fan, you know, people are doing other stuff. Of course they are. And they're making their signs. But I am so excited about the squad and yourself and everything what's happening. So I just wish you all the best. Injury-free season, successful season, my friend.
Thank you.
Good luck. Thanks for coming, everybody. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Yes.
Okay. What can I say? But thanks to Gabby. Thanks to Musa. Thanks to Arsenal. Thanks to Adidas. Thanks for listening, everybody. Really looking forward to the season. I feel very revitalized for some reason. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I feel like Arsenal, something's happening. I'm going to leave it there. I feel like something's happening, but why shouldn't I? It's pre-season and I'm excited about my team. But thanks for listening. See you again next week.